So, Father, I just thank you for this time, Lord God. I thank you that this isn't about a Bible study. It's about a positioning of people to partner with you in that place of prayer. And I thank you, Father, that as we come into that place of unity with you, that we're going to see incredible signs and wonders as we walk out destiny, both in our individual lives, in our homes, in Relentless, in our towns, Lord God, and even in our state and nation. Father, I thank you for the mandate of prayer that you've placed, not just over this house, Lord God, but over your body, because you said that your house would be called a house of prayer. That's our destiny, and we embrace it. And thank you, Father. Amen. So I want to read this to you. The enemy does not like prayer. Do you know why he doesn't like prayer? It scares him. It absolutely frightens the enemy when he thinks that a people will come together and begin to pray. He trembles because he knows the authority that we walk in. He knows it better than we know it. So prayer changes his plans. The enemy has a plan. He has a plan for each one of us. He has a plan for our family. He has for the towns that we live in. He has a plan. And when we begin to pray, it interrupts his plan. And then his plans are turned upside down and become unsuccessful. And that's why it frightens the enemy when we pray. Prayer leads us closer to God and further away from the enemy. This is why Paul encouraged us in prayer with the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. This is what Paul said. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I want to point out something to you about the name Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes in the scripture we hear or we read Jesus, and then sometimes we read Christ Jesus. The difference, and you think, well, there's no difference, they're the same person, and that is true. It's very true, but the reality is that when Christ is put in there before his name, Christ is a title, not a name, and that title speaks of authority. That title speaks of an authority that was purchased through his sacrifice. And that title speaks of an authority that has elevated us in a position with him in the heavenlies at the right hand of the Father. And that is absolute authority. The enemy works very hard to convince us that we have an inability to pray. I mean, one of the biggest tricks of the enemy is to keep us in that place where we're so concerned about how we sound when we pray that we refuse to pray, you know, because we're looking at ourselves and finding ourselves inadequate instead of looking at the Word and what the Word says that we are, and walking in that. You know, Paul would not tell us to pray continually if we were not able to pray continually. And that word continually used to stump me, because I'm like, God, I work in a busy emergency room. I have patients to take care of. How can I pray continually? Praying continually is a place of, I talked about it last week when I shared. It's a place of communion with God. In your mind, I want you to think, what is prayer? When that comes to you, what do you think prayer is? And you can raise your hand if you want to answer that. Okay. Talking to God. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Telling God what I want. Being aware of His presence. Bringing God here with us, present with us, next to us. Anybody else? A partnership with the Lord. Okay. Intimacy with the Lord. Okay. So, a form of worship. Those are all, yes, ma'am. A lifeline, yes. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes people get caught up in the how-tos, you know. It's like people seek a formula for prayer. And there's really not a formula. There's an explanation. You know, there's instruction on prayer, but there's not a checkoff list for prayer. There's not a formula. I did this, I did this, I did this, so I'm okay. You know, God, why aren't you answering? Because I did this, this, and this. There's not a formula for prayer, but there is instruction for prayer. And that's very important. And there are different types of prayer, for lack of a better word, that apply in different situations. In other words, a form of prayer is worship. In worship, you're not petitioning the Lord. You're exalting Him. You're worshiping Him for who He is. So the prayer that is known as worship is not the same as a petition prayer. In Luke chapter 18, let's see what Jesus says. Whoa. I love this story. Sometimes the enemy tries to convince us to give up on prayer. So this is what the Lord taught the disciples. Then He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray. And let me clarify there, mankind, or not men specifically, but men and women, those who follow Him, ought to always pray and not lose heart, saying, Jesus loves stories too. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continued coming she wearies me." Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge His own elect, who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Sometimes we get frustrated in prayer because we don't see the answer right away. And that is because, part of it is because we've been geared on a microwave society. I mean, we pop something in the microwave, push a couple of buttons, and in a few minutes it comes out ready to eat. Or we go through the drive-thru and fuss if it takes more than 5 minutes. I mean, that's outrageous. 5 minutes, this is drive-thru, it's fast food. You know, so we've been indoctrinated to look for an instant reply. And prayer sometimes can be instant, but more often than not, it's not instant. And one of the incredible things about prayer, persistent prayer, this is what this is, the persistent widow, persistent prayers. Persistent prayer will actually be instrumental in building faith. So, and there's also the prayer of faith, and Jesus talked about that in Mark chapter 11. He taught, you know, it's one of those stories. He talked about, he said, if there's a mountain in front of you that's standing between you and where you need to go, if you'll speak to that mountain, and you'll not doubt in your heart, but you'll speak to that mountain will be removed. That's incredible. Well, part of that is you begin to see the mountain removed. But the enemy, see, this is the trick. The enemy begins to attempt to grow the mountain before you. So that's when you have to become very persistent in prayer and not let up, because you've set your eyes on the answer and not the problem, the circumstance. God said in Isaiah, and this is one of my favorite scriptures, I quote it all the time. I'm going to set this down here. In Isaiah 55:10-11, he said, this is the way my word works. This is why I send it. He said, it's just like how the rain comes down and waters the earth, and it causes the earth to spring up and bud and produce. He said, that's the way my word is. I send it down like rain, and it waters whatever it is that whatever need, whatever barren, dry place, unproductive place is that you're praying about, whether it's in your life or another life. And then if you will take my word and return it to me, it will produce everything, listen to this, that I sent it to do, that God sent it to do. There's an incredible thing in that. And a lot of times we get all caught up, okay, what's his word? Genesis to Revelation, that's his word. But you know what else is his word? His word is when you're sitting in that place of fellowship with the Father, it's that place of communion, that place that is just blanketed with worship, that place that is listening, and he begins to deposit in you his word. And it might go with something like, you know, years ago in this place, there was a preacher, and he prophesied over this land by my word, by my spirit, that this land would be a fruitful land and that it would spring forth and produce. And see, God's just ministering that to you in the spirit. And then you come into a place of prayer and begin to prophesy again, return that word to Him. Father, you said that this land would prosper and produce. You said that this land would be fruitful. And I just call forth that fruitfulness now in Jesus' name. That's a way. And how many parents we got in here? We got parents. Every parent should have a very clear picture of exactly who God has called their children to be. And when you have that clear picture, it doesn't matter what is going on in their lives. It doesn't matter what the plot of the enemy is. You have the Word of God, and He is the victorious one. And He has promised that if you will return His Word to Him, it will produce. And if you're persistent in that and you faint not, then you will see the full manifestation of that word. Sometimes it's walked out in little increments, and sometimes it's just like, wow, this happened, and it's amazing. But God is faithful. So I want you to, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 18, verse 19 and 20. And it says, Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. One of the most incredible stories to me is the story of Pentecost. Jesus took 12 men, and then in a process, there was an exponential increase. 12 became 120 in an upper room. And the thing that really is impressive, or the thing that we need to note, is this little phrase that says that they were in one accord. Jesus had given to them a mandate to wait. And He had spent 3 years telling them about the kingdom, talking to them about the kingdom. And to begin with, they looked at a kingdom there in Israel. But Jesus' plan was so much greater than that. And they came to that place. I'm going to move this before it becomes an accident. In the process of 3 years, they came to the realization that His kingdom is not of this world. It is of a different dimension. And it is an all-powerful kingdom. And they set their eyes on that in one accord. And it says, if you read the scripture, not just that 120, but those throughout history who had set their eyes on the kingdom rather than the circumstance, it says that those people of faith in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11, says that those people turned the world upside down. I believe with all of my heart, if He can gather us into a place, and that's up to us, not Him, But if he can gather us into a place where we are of one mind, one thought, one accord, have one purpose, then we are going to begin to turn the world upside down. We'll turn the world upside down in our families. We'll turn it upside down in Savannah. We'll turn it upside down in the state. We will turn the world upside down. And I'm telling you, it's not up to God. It's up to us. And so I am asking you, are you willing to come together in one accord, one focus, one mind, one purpose, until we see the kingdom established? When the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It is not the Lord's Prayer. It is the Lord's instruction on prayer. And there's a difference. But do you know why they ask him to teach them to pray? It's because they watched his life. Jesus was a man of prayer. He spent nights in prayer. He frequently, often separated himself away to a place of prayer. And that, look, if he had not done that, he would not have been able to go to the cross. Sometimes we forget Jesus came as a man. He didn't come as God. He came as man to show us the way. And then, as God, he empowered us to do exactly as he had done. So when he taught the disciples on prayer, and that wasn't the only time. I mean, he talked to them about being persistent. He talked to them about being in one accord. He talked to them about setting their faith. So it wasn't just that one time, but one of the things that has always drawn me and gripped me, and how many times I've cried out to God in prayer for this thing. He said, this is what you pray. He said, you pray that the kingdom come to the earth as it is in heaven. I think we need a really good picture of the kingdom in heaven. I think sometimes we lack that, so we're not able to stand in faith in having the kingdom come to the earth. Paul, very interesting to me. Paul, we know the story. He was he had an encounter, and one of the things that happened to Paul, he heard an audible voice. This voice came out of the heavens, spoke to him, why are you kicking at the bricks, Paul? And I thought, kicking at the bricks, what's that mean? You know, ask the Lord on that. What's that mean, kicking at the bricks? So why did you put that in there? You know, why'd you ask him that? Because bricks build things. He was kicking at bricks. You know, God had an intention to build, and Paul kept kicking it down, pursuing those crazy disciples that followed that man. And so Paul had a heart for God. He was just doing the wrong thing, thinking he was right. And God interrupted him. The Lord interrupted him. But if you read Paul's story, what he says is, I did not immediately go to Jerusalem, but I went 3 years to Asia. And in those 3 years, I believe, you know that little story where Paul talks about, there's a man I know who was caught up to the third heaven, and Paul says it wasn't him. And I believe that's absolutely true. It wasn't Saul. It was Paul that was caught up to the third heaven. Because Paul had a name change. And in that third heaven, He saw things which he said were unspeakable to tell. But I believe if you read the book of Ephesians, you will begin to understand what it was that Paul saw when he was caught up into that third heaven. He saw us positioned in a place of authority at the right hand of the Father. And I just feel in my heart that God has become weary with us because we've not walked over into that place of authority that he has given us. To me, it is time to put it to rest, to forget what we cannot do, and delve in to what we can do in him. And the vast majority of all of that, I believe, will come through prayer. Kyle talked about being a witness, about going out and being a productive Christian. But if we just remain in this place, the world's not going to be turned upside down. But if we go out and we begin to be the witnesses that he's called us to be, then we will begin to turn the world upside down. We'll begin to see that. But I'm going to tell you something. I think one of the major keys, and we're on keys, one of the major keys to that is prayer. Now, I want to ask you something. How many of us pray before we go into a place to eat? How many of us pray, God, set someone in front of me who needs their world turned upside down? Set someone in front of me. How many of us pray when we go into Walmart? And I've kind of forsaken that place, so I don't go there often. But anyway, when you go out shopping, you know, is there an encounter that God has set for you? Seek out the encounters, but it starts before you ever go in. It starts in a place of prayer. It starts with this knowledge, this understanding that God has a plan and he wants you to get with him on it. And part of that get with him on it comes through prayer. We've heard Kyle talk about over and over again about the vision of this house. To see the vision of this house come to pass, we need to be a people united in purpose, in prayer. That is part of my heart. You know, I said to Kyle, God wants to do some things, but he wants to bring us together in prayer in order to do that. You've heard him talk about Circle the Wagons. We began to meet in Circle the Wagons, but we didn't just come into Circle Wagons with a, you know, a plan to pray. What we did was we sought the Lord all week long about how to come together, the purpose that he has for us in that few minutes of time. And it's very few minutes of time. It's very focused. So if God gave me one thing and God gave another person another thing and another, and it all just comes together. It's incredible. It's such an incredible unifying thing. And then we pray it out, just very simple. Then we get up and we come and we sit down and we hear it come from the pulpit, or we watch it come from the worship team. It's incredible. That's what God wants to do. He wants to show himself so powerful in this realm that we begin to see the full manifestation of his kingdom here, now. Kind of lost myself there. So this is what I want to do, and I'm going to just share this with you a little bit. Every week, what we'll do is we'll come in and just have a small teaching. But this, I'm going to I homeschooled a little bit, so I'm going to give you an assignment, okay? So the person next to you, that person, I want you to spend a week praying for that person. And I want you to take down, write down what it is that God gives you. And listen, if the person next to you is your spouse, shift seats. So you can just, y'all got it, okay? You don't have to literally move from one seat to another. I'm just saying, don't pray for your spouse. I mean, wait a minute. Let me correct myself. Pray for your spouse, but that's not. Let them fend for themselves. No. What I'm saying is, that's not the assignment. That should be the norm, okay? So don't pray. This assignment is not for you to pray for your spouse. It's for you to pray for someone that you don't know intimately, okay? Because God's going to show you some things. And then we're not going to, this is what we're going to do. We're going to come back with that list, and you can give that to that person. And I'm telling you that it will absolutely minister to that person. Okay? I got a little, like, wanky looks. That's the assignment. And so one of the things about prayer is activation. So you can't, I'm going to talk to you about what prayer is and what prayer isn't. I love this on Facebook where it says, what do they say? I'm thinking good thoughts. Yeah, positive vibes. What? Okay. And then you have some people that say, I'm praying for you. See, I used to, I'm going to be very transparent. Every once in a while I get a good resounding rebuke from the Lord, because I would see a need on Facebook or whatever, and I would say, oh, I'm praying for you. And I'd go about my business and forget. And so the Lord rebuked me one day when I was writing out, I'm praying for you. And he said, you don't look like you're praying to me. And I said, oh. So I began to just stop right there and pray for the person. And I found out that when I did that, God would bring that person back to me throughout the day. Yeah, it was just amazing. So prayer is not writing it down on Facebook or somewhere else. You know, it's not, oh, thinking good thoughts. No. It's way beyond that. It is getting into that, and you'll find out how incredible it is. If you lend yourself in prayer, God will minister to you how to pray for that person. You know why? Because he loves them. He loves them incredibly. You know, and let me tell you, if you just pray blessings over them, you know, you don't have to know what's going on, but you just pray blessings over them. Father, bless Karen today. Fill her with your love, Lord God. Wrap your arms around her and let her feel your embrace, Lord God. Father, where she feels weak, cause her to know that you are her strength, Lord God. Fill her up with that joy that is her strength, O Lord God. Fill her with your peace, O Lord God. Direct her steps, Lord God. Cause her to be able to see the path that you've set before her. It's just real simple to be able to pray the word of God over a person. And it blesses them. So, that's prayer. Prayer's not thinking good thoughts. It's being proactive in prayer, okay? I'm not telling you not to think good thoughts. I'm just telling you to carry it through with prayer. So what else did I tell you I was going to tell you? Okay, what it is and what it is not. So it is proactive. It is actually praying out. And what it is not is just, you know, no check off list. I said I'd pray. Check. No, it's proactive. It's being intentional in praying. And then when you do that, you'll begin to see that God will just bring it back to you throughout the day. And that you'll just continue in that place. That's like continual prayer. I was going to say that earlier. You know, when I was working in a very, very busy emergency room, it was incredible because God took me to, I saw so much need. Oh my God, at the need. People dying. They were, you know, death and life right there in front of my face. And there was so much need. And I learned very quickly that it is very, very possible to pray right in the midst of a code where they're working to bring a person back to life. And it is very possible to be in continual prayer because God's heart is for that person on that table. And so if you lend yourself to that, then God will begin to produce that in you. It's amazing. And I would go sometimes through a very, very busy night. And at the end of the night, it was almost like I had total recall on these patients. It was amazing. It shocked me. Never mind what it did with other people, but me. I would go out sometimes and go, my God, how did that happen? It's incredible. That's who God is. That's who God is. And He makes the impossible very possible in you. And sometimes we say, oh God, I can't do that. But if we will just lend ourselves to that thing, then He will cause us to be able to do that, to function in a realm that we can't see with our natural eyes, and to bring that realm into this with power. Paul, when he saw the that vision that he had, that when he was transported, he saw us in a place of authority. And that's what he spoke about in Ephesians. And there's a place, you know, you may start out sitting in your chair. I sit in a chair at home, okay, and I rock a little bit, you know, whatever. I worship, I rock, I pray, whatever. But if you're sitting in your chair, if you're on your face, if you're standing up, if you're riding in the car, it doesn't matter. But when you start out praying in this almost place of, I'm human and I'm just being obedient, Lord, you're going to begin to see yourself in that place in the heavenlies. And you're going to begin to understand that the words that He's releasing in your spirit that are coming up in that place of prayer, they are for the establishing of the kingdom. And you're going to begin to understand that what you hear by the Spirit is His desire for the earth, for the person, for that person that you're going to pray for all week long. And that's phenomenal. Whatever your need is in life, if you have a ministry, your home, your spouse, your children, whatever it is, God wants us in that place where we sit in the position, the seated place with Him in the heavenlies, where we have been given, He said, all authority has been given to me on earth and in heaven. Go therefore. Well, part of the go therefore is a place of prayer. We've been given all authority on earth to bring heaven to earth. And so I encourage you to begin to believe that and begin to exercise that. And I want to give you something else, too. You know, people say, yeah, it's kind of hard for me to pray out loud. You know, I feel uncomfortable praying out loud. Incredible, phenomenal stories in the scriptures. Because Hannah was barren. And she came before the Lord. She stood. She didn't bow down. She stood before the Lord. And she cried out to the Lord, not with words out of her mouth, but words out of her heart. And God heard the cry of her heart, and he answered her. So I don't care. I would love for you to become very comfortable in praying out loud. And I'll tell you why in just a second, but I'm going to tell you this right now. God hears the cry of your heart, and he will answer your heart every single time. Now, I'm going to tell you why it's important to pray out loud. Because, see, if you're praying in your heart, it's hard for me to come into agreement. But if you're praying out loud, I can come into agreement with that. And beyond that, I love this. It says that deep cries unto deep. And sometimes when you're praying out of a place of depth of the Spirit, this well springing up in you. And you're praying out of that place. And as you pray it out, that deep place, that deep thing in you is picked up by someone else because they're answering the cry. And that deep thing will begin to come up out of them too. And that's a part of prayer. But when you pray out loud, remember that then others around you can come into agreement with that prayer. But never think for an instant that God can't hear you if your heart is crying out. Another little story is Daniel. And I love this. He had this incredible vision or dream. I forgot what it was, but anyway. Either dream or vision. And he wanted to know what it was that God was showing him in that. And it says, when Gabriel came to him 21 days later, I mean, that's almost a whole month. 21 days later, Gabriel came with the answer. He said this thing to Daniel. He said, Daniel, 21 days ago, when you set your heart, God sent me, but there was warfare, and so Michael came and did war so that I could come forth to bring you the revelation of what you've seen. He set his heart. So never think because you've set your heart, you've prayed in your heart, that God hasn't heard you. He has, and he will answer you. But I encourage you to be vocal in your prayers, not as a demonstration of, oh, I can pray out loud, I'm a good prayer. You know, I've been praying, I don't care if you know, I'm 71 years old. I was born again when I was 5 years old. So that's a long, long time ago, like 61 years, is that what it is? Dang. Praying for a long time. Yes, I was, and I am still uncomfortable sometimes praying in public. Just am. You know, still sometimes say, Lord, I don't know what to pray. I actually don't like it whenever someone says, Lee, will you pray? I'm like, I'll pray. But now I'm going to tell you something else, too. I push through and I pray. So when I begin to call on you to pray, guess what you're going to have to do? Yep, push through and pray out loud in assembly and not even caring about what it might sound like. And sometimes, let me tell you, I get around some person that can pray, and oh my God, pray the house down. I'm telling you, praying scriptures like rolling out of your mouth like you would not believe. My God, how can anybody know that many scriptures and not be Jewish? Come on. It's just incredible, you know. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, and it's intimidating. Like, and they come up with all these prophetic things and all, and they've seen all this stuff and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh God, that's all. You know, look, remember the story about Eliakim being the peg and the vessels being on the peg? Yeah, the vessels were different sizes and shapes, and they had different purposes. They sounded different, and they looked different. So you don't have to sound like everyone else. You don't have to look like everyone else. But I'm telling you, what you do have to do is be obedient. And that, to me, is the heart of prayer. So I know that it's probably, it's 6 o'clock. Yes, ma'am.
So you mentioned about God answering a prayer, but it took, I think you said, 21 days until it was realized. So are you suggesting then that maybe when we do pray that God does immediately answer? It's just does he always immediately answer, but then sometimes it just takes time before we realize it? I mean, is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, and also sometimes there's an element of warfare in that, but God will take care of the warfare too. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. So part of that, we see that as a spiritual warfare mandate from the Lord, but it's beyond that, because when you look into the heavens, and you'll begin to do this as you, you know, lend yourself in that place of prayer, you'll begin to look and see what it is in heaven that God wants to release on the earth. So you see it there, you loose it on the earth. But the enemy will war against that. So when you feel the warfare, see the evidence of the warfare, just bind that in that instance. But, you know, the enemy, and there are different levels of warfare, and I do not advocate, absolutely do not advocate, entering into a place of warfare where it can be dangerous. You know, foot soldiers, there's positions in armies, and I might get feedback from this, but I'll go right ahead, 'cause y'all pray for me, right? Okay. That's good. Thank you. There are different positions in an army, and you don't send a foot soldier to war against tanks. They're going to get obliterated. You have to know your position in prayer before you go forth into warfare. And wise people don't go into war alone. They go with an army. You have to understand the principle of warfare. You have to understand the principle of strategic warfare. I love that word, strategic. For years, I would have a vision of a table, and it was in a tent in a field, and there were people in there, and I was in there at the table, and there were these like little flag pins, and I was sticking them in, and they were sticking them in, and I was like, what is that? What is that? And my son was in the army, and I just happened to share that with him one day, and he laughed at me, and he said, Mama, you know what that is? I said, no. He said, that's a field table. I said, well, it's a table in a field, all right. And he said, no. He said, years ago, before all the modern stuff, you know, the whatever, the technologies, He said the generals and the, you know, the soldiers would gather in that field table, and they would plot out strategies on that table. So you never go, you never engage the enemy without a strategy. And it's God that brings that strategy to you. And then you never go to war alone. You go with the army that God's positioned you in. So if that helps. Okay. So who wants to pray? Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, with a microphone too. Okay. Yeah. All right, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Lee teaching tonight. Thank you for all of us being here. I just pray that we each got what you wanted us to get out of this. And thank you for being here with us in this realm, with us here in this room, and thank you for the teaching, and thank you for your word, and thank you for listening to us, and for being there for us, and we love you, Lord. We love this congregation, and we love each other. Amen. Amen.
Good job.
Thank you.
That's courage. I love it. Okay, remember your assignment. Do you have your assignments? Everybody got their assignments? Do you remember? Yes.